One of the keynote speakers at the World Summit on Arts and Culture was Jacques Martial. He's best known in France as an actor. He played a cop in the popular TV series there called Navarro. But Jacques Martial also now runs one of the largest arts precincts in Europe. It's the Parc de la Villette, and it's on the northeast boundary of Paris. It used to be an abattoir, but in the 1980s it was converted into a huge park with an assortment of venues for all sorts of arts events. Now, the thing is, the Parc de la Villette is in the absolute poorest part of Paris, an area that actually has slums, shanty towns. A lot of the people who live there are from North Africa, and while they've used the park as somewhere outdoors to take their kids to play, in the past very few ever went inside the theatres or the galleries there. So this was Jacques Martial's mission when he became president of the Parc de la Villette, to break down the sense of cultural and racial exclusion. And as Jacques Martial tells Michael Sheriffs, this is something he understands personally from his own experience in the arts.
I was raised in Paris and went in school, and all my life was there. No question of what meant being a black man or a white man. I was French. I still am French, and that was it. And when I became an actor, there started the problems, because being an actor means representing people, representing the society, representing the humankind. And writers, authors, producers, people who have the money and produce these plays, these films, these TV movies or series, are telling something to the society. And what I discovered was that I was not going to play the main part as I dreamt about. Not because I was not a good actor. Of course, I was the best actor. You can But because I didn't have the right color to represent my concitoyen, I mean my contemporain, we say in French. And I was shocked. I was shocked when I discovered that. And plus, talking of the theater, where we have all this culture that fascinated me, and that was why I wanted to be an actor, it was to play these grand texts, the Misanthrope by Molière, or Don Juan, or playing, when I was young, Romeo, or playing Hamlet, or playing in Brecht plays, etc. I mean, all these, what I had been told, these universal writers, Chekhov, etc. Suddenly, people told me, you can't, because you're black, and it's not possible.
So you realised very early on that, in many ways, theatre was a white conception.
Exactly, and I was amazed, because theatre, which I thought was the excellency of freedom and open spirit, was actually the less open place I could work. I mean, script writers for movie or TV could write for people they saw. And in the beginning, I did lots of film and TV films. But I spent 15 years of my life playing the black. I don't know what is the black, but I played the black. And I had this American movie director, John Barry, offering me a part, the part of Rainier in his script. I went in the beginning of the script reading, you know, the descriptions of the character, and I couldn't see my character. So I went in the script, read, and suddenly I found one scene with this black character, signaled as black from West Indies. Okay, that's it. And it was just one scene, except that that was not the role that John Barry was thinking for me. It was the role of Rainier, which was one of the main characters, and I had not read it. Because it was not written that Rainier was a black character, I just said, no, it's not that one. I was looking for the black one, because I was imprisoned in this question of being black instead of being an actor. And because for all these years, I've played the same character that some people wanted me to play to represent a certain community and say, this community does this kind of thing. And all I do here in my life, and as an actor, is trying to do something different, because often what is done now doesn't work. So we have to find other ways, and art, an artist, often it can help to find these new ways.
You sort of bring this knowledge, this very personal experience of your world, into other aspects of your life. One of them has been to be quite active in tackling racism, tackling ideas of inclusion, exclusion, dealing with the problems of minorities. And you were appointed as president of Parc de la Villette, a big area of cultural activity, which had been in place for many years before you came on board. But it's located in one of the most underprivileged parts of Paris. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you are at the front line of a cultural dilemma? Because you have been placed there for probably for very deliberate reasons.
I think that we're a link between periphery and Paris. The link between people who are not used to going cultural places and people who are used to. We're a bridge between these two places because La Villette is a park, and this park is an open-air area designed by this extraordinary architect named Bernard Tschumi. And Gilles Deleuze, which actually was the philosopher he was working on when he was thinking of La Villette, and Gilles Deleuze and the philosophy of the rhizome, which meant what for Deleuze, what is important is not the point, it's not the piece of art, it's the links between the points. It's what's created to go from one point to another. Two people, how can they be connected? So that is the spirit of La Villette, a place of links, but it is a designed area. So when you come in the park of the La Villette, the minute you enter the park, you become a part of this piece of art. And this is the first contact of the people who live in suburbs or in this poor area with art. The minute they come here, there is something different. That's not to buy something, it's not to spend money for something, it's just being somewhere. But this somewhere is different from the normal life.
It's interesting that one of the very first projects you undertook at the park was a show of Caribbean work. And you thought this would be a natural for an audience in that area. But you found that that audience didn't come because they didn't think it was for them. And the mainstream French audience didn't come because they didn't think it was for them. What did you learn from that?
That maybe I had a problem of communication. That was the first thing we learned. And also, that was deeper than we thought. Even me, with all my knowledge of being different, apparently I was wrong. It was a little bit more complicated than that. So when I say as a joke that I had to reinvent a new communication, it is true. How to talk to people, which people I want to talk to, which media we are using to reach them. And it's also a question of education. Educating a public takes a while. I mean, maybe you have the revelation of your envy or desire for being an actor as I had, or being a singer or musician or a painter or a poet. It's good, but we are not so many to have this kind of revelation and then being like a man in the desert praying for a sip of water. Let me hear, please, a note of Don Giovanni. No, we're not all like that. Some have to learn to educate the ear, the man, the mind, the eyes. We have a word for that. It's la médiation culturelle, mediators, people who try to make the connection between art, artists, and the public. And also, because the question of the price, I understood that for the people of our area, money was a question. So we decided to make free exhibitions, for instance, and it worked. The last one we did in a special venue was a Duane Hanson exhibition, a sculpture, hyper realiste. And we had 75,000 people came to see these 20 sculptures, but really seeing, spending 1 hour, 2 hours in the hall and coming back and seeing again and bringing friends to discover it. And also our mediators are in the park talking to people and telling them Oh, do you want to come in? There is an exhibition. You can see it, and it's free. If you don't like, you go out, but spend a while. And people came in and stayed, and stayed a long time, and came back with children, with friends, as I said.
And you found these were people from your constituency,
yes, yes,
people, not just people coming from the centre of Paris?
No, yes. These were people of the park itself, the people who are having a walk with the children on Wednesday afternoon and trying to have a tour on the merry-go-round, you know, and suddenly they could enter in this place and do something else with their children. And our mediators were working outside, I mean, talking to people, explaining them what they're going to see and how it works, what it meant, just giving them some tools to be able to appreciate or to explain to their children and not to say, oh, I don't know. And it worked.
Just finally, Paris is quite emblematic of larger problems in Europe. You have a very traditional cultural centre, and Paris does like its tradition. But it seems that at times that can also equate to a state of denial, because the world is different. Paris is different to the way it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 20 years ago. And I'm wondering if that culturally conservative state is a huge problem. Is it stopping the French from dealing with what seem like real flashpoints, real powder kegs?
I think that some institutions are changing what you're describing, which is quite pessimistic. For instance, in La Villette, we do work exactly on this subject. That's what we're doing. And some institutions in Paris are really involved in this. And so we're working hard to change that, not to remain on the ancient references and habits. And it does change. It takes time. It's difficult to change things quickly. Things do not change quickly.
Does it have to change faster? I mean, really, Europe is under a huge pressure at the moment. France, Paris is under huge pressure. Does it need to change more quickly?
Yes, there is an emergency. We all must work. But culture, the economical perception of the world, the ecological, all this has to change. It's not just seeing the next Jacques Martial or Mel Gibson or a Nicole Kidman film or not. It's not the point. It's not enough. But we participate. And the more we will do it, and if we remain strong in our priorities and on this project, it will help to people to see that it works.
And Jacques Martial was one of the keynote speakers at the World Summit on Arts and Culture that's just been on in Melbourne. He's the president of the Parc de la Villette cultural precinct in Paris and a well-known actor in France. And he was speaking with Michael Sheriffs. And if you want to listen to some other of the sessions from the Arts Summit, you can follow the link from the Artworks website to the special Radio National Arts Summit site. It's worth checking out.